incidence of chronic suppurative ear disease or chronic infected ears in Aboriginal people, Aboriginal children, is the highest in the world. It's about possibly 8 to 9 times higher than that affecting children living in the slums of India, higher than that occurring in Africa by a similar sort of figure. About 90% of Aboriginal children have significant hearing aid level deafness for at least 3 months of the year. They get their first ear infection under the age of 3 months, which is kind of a world first for getting ear infections. And they're left with conductive deafness for much of their language development years.
These are alarming statistics, and you're calling this a pandemic of hearing problems. Why isn't this being addressed by the government?
Well, it is a pandemic. A pandemic is supposed to be 4%, which is an extraordinarily low figure because the evidence or the incidence of ear disease in non-Aboriginal people in Australia is somewhere close to 7 or 8% of kids have bad enough ear trouble to consider grommets being inserted. So the term pandemic is a bit loosely used with this, but 90% is known to government. The main paper from that was from the Menzies School in the Northern Territory, a highly distinguished institution, federal government funded, does first-rate research on Aboriginal problems. So that paper from about 2008 by Menzies School showed this 91% with the glue ear for at least 3 months of the year, and 20% of the kids had holes in their eardrums, 25% holes in the eardrums. The new figures are from South Australia, is in the APY lands, 35% of kids have chronic perforation of the eardrum and secondary deafness. Why isn't the government doing it? Well, they're doing much about it. Well, they're doing it in a very ad hoc way. There was a scheme called the MSOAP scheme for medical and allied health going into remote areas and paying for it, but there's no coordinated approach to doing it. There should be an Australia-wide response that the best evidence is used and the goodwill of the 400 ENT surgeons in Australia is actually used, and not there's no roadblock to them going into these communities and offering advice and potentially surgery. And more importantly, coordinate what's currently there. So the Deadly Ears program in Queensland has been going for 10 years. It gets good government funding and strong support. And there are basically 30 full-time staff in Deadly Ears, and none of them are surgeons. There are about 4 or 5 theatre nurses who can coordinate the operations and make sure we're doing the procedures which are safe to do in remote communities. But the other 25 or so staff are Indigenous health workers, audiologists, occupational therapists, people who teach teachers how to teach a class full of deaf kids, so that the teachers going to remote communities in Queensland are taught to face the school, face the class when they talk. They're taught to not turn their back and write on the blackboard while they talk. They're taught to use the sound amplification systems in the classroom. They're taught to, that the kids are mostly lip reading, to help them understand what the teacher's saying. So, you know, there's a whole pile of things which a coordinated response will do, which currently isn't done in virtually any other state. There are good people in other states trying to do these things, but it's not coordinated. In Queensland, the teachers who are going to remote communities are taught what to do before they go there. You know, we need a similar Australia-wide response. I'm currently president of the Australian Society for ENT Surgeons, and we're trying as a society to get an Australia-wide deadly ears type response so that all 8 jurisdictions of looking after healthcare in Australia joins together and funds properly a system which has been proven to work.
Why do you think the ear health problem wasn't addressed in the closing the gap outcomes?
Yeah, I'm not sure why it wasn't raised by the closing the gap outcome, and it wasn't raised by the AMA either. Rachel Seward's Senate Select Committee report on hearing issues in Australia wrote a long and very, very accurate report on this, and they were able to outline the evidence of the connection between not being able to hear in your first 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years of life, how that impacts on your ability to be able to speak English, especially when English is your second language, but not just be able to speak English, but be able to think in abstract thoughts and take in what a teacher may be saying in an abstract way later in life. They've been able to show that the strong correlation between deafness and poor language results in kids not keeping up with what the teachers are saying, resulting in boredom at school, truancy from school, leaving school illiterate, not being able to hold down a job, feeling of hopelessness. not being able to leave a community which may have high unemployment and not be a really nice place to live 52 weeks of the year. But you can't go to other places because you can't find a job. You can't read road signs and maps and directions and read a computer. So that results in feelings of hopelessness and drug abuse, sniffing and alcohol and mental health issues, and hopelessness leads on to into suicide, the criminal justice system, the high rates of incarceration. Rachel Seward and her group of Labor and Liberal senators were able to show that distinct link, but the government and the AMA haven't carried on with it. Look, when the previous Howard government did the intervention in the Northern Territory in whatever it was, 2006 or so, Bill Grassen, who's an ophthalmologist, very heavily involved in Indigenous health work, very much on the lines of a Fred Hollows type stuff. Bill went to the Northern Territory as the senior doctor for the whole intervention, appointed by the Howard government, and Tony Abbott was the health minister at the time. And he said when he went to the Aboriginal communities and asked the Aboriginal people what their most pressing health issues was, basically every community says it's all our ears. Our kids are deaf. They've got pus falling stream from their ears. They can't hear what we're saying. They can't do well at school. Fix up the ear problem. But that seems to have been lost. The whole conversation has moved on, and the root cause for a lot of it, or certainly a major contributing factor for a lot of the issues, is the deafness. Why are we concentrating on the disastrous end product of inactivity? Well, it's easier to ignore it. Every health group pushes their own agenda. We're doing the same, but we believe we've got evidence basis for what we're doing. The government knows about it. There were, you know, Rachel Seward's report now is 7 years old. It had, I think, three or four Labor and three or four Liberal senators, along with Rachel Seward, the Green senator, being the chair of that report and the writer of that report. They know about it. It's about time they got off their backside and did something. It just sits in the back burner, so it gets ignored, and people dance around the results of the deafness issue rather than take it on early on, when the evidence is a big difference can be made with relatively small sums of money.